Yes, guys, welcome back to the Once You're In, You're In podcast, episode 115, which is pretty mental.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel that long ago that we did 100.
No.
This is going to be a half an hour Q&A episode.
Yes.
The last episode we did was like a weekend wrap up of my show and the WMBF show. This is going to be a questions episode. I got quite a few, to be fair. Did you get a few?
I think I got a few, yeah.
Right, let's get straight into it. So yeah. First one. Do you think there's a difference in criteria when judging between UKDFBA slash WMBF? It's a good question, to be fair.
Oh, I think it's definitely between BMBF and UKDFBA. Yeah. There's a bigger transparency, that's not the right word. Bigger
discrepancy,
there we go. Yeah, thanks, Vin. Bigger discrepancy between BMBF and UKDFBA. And to be fair, there's discrepancies between every federation has a slight preference,
slight niche and favoritism towards a certain look.
Yeah, definitely. And if you were to actually look through the criteria itself, like the objective criteria for bodybuilding will be most conditioned, best shape, with the most muscle, like that usually. And then, but then also you have stage presence, you have posing, tan can play a role, glaze in the midsection, that would have been good for me in the first show. Like these are the sort of things, and like the thing is also it's an opinion, and that's what I think a lot of people don't realize. Like, it is literally an opinion on what fits the class the best, especially in men's physique, especially in the female divisions. Like, it's all an opinion. In bodybuilding, I think it is a little bit more simple to kind of assess and go, right, that's the winner. But it's a very subjective sport, in a sense. And the problem is, and this is, again, the issue that we're seeing nowadays, is because shows are live streamed, it's more popular, more people are getting into it, the standards are sometimes a bit inconsistent. The amount of times that you'll hear people, especially nowadays, this year has been the worst when it comes to like, judging's awful, judging's this. And there are a few horrendous judging calls. But I would say, if anything, like, assess the criteria of what you're entering, and then just, let's say, bring your best look. And if that isn't the judge's cup of tea, right, reassess, go again. You can only focus on yourself. But sometimes it might be a case where some people do get unfairly judged against, but it is an opinion. And yeah.
Yeah, obviously there's going to be some politics in it to an extent, but I think more often than not, the judging is pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, UKDFBA, they often do heavily favour condition.
Yeah.
I'd say WMBF is similar. But when you say heavily favour condition, most people just aren't in shape.
Yeah.
If you're not in shape, you won't win. Like, simple as that. We're saying it in the last episode. Josh won. He wasn't the biggest, but he won because he was the leanest, and that makes you look bigger. And his posing was the best, and his tan was the best, and so on and so forth. Like, obviously, he's got great shape, etc. But if Josh was 10 pounds heavier, he wouldn't have won that show because he wouldn't have been in shape.
Yeah.
So get in shape. BMBF agreed, definitely prefer a bigger, more bubbly kind of look. But again, they don't favour people out of shape.
No.
You still got to be lean. Like, they won't just go, oh, that guy's big, he's fat, there you go, you win. Like you say, more often than not, it is correct. It's usually the biggest, the leanest, the best, to be honest, will win.
Yeah.
PCA definitely favour condition, but again, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, when we say favour condition, it doesn't mean that a guy goes with no muscle, but he's really lean, so he wins.
Yeah.
Like, you still need muscle, you still need good presentation, all those kind of things. So, yeah, there are some slight sort of differences, but more often than not, like, it's a case of the full sort of package.
You didn't mention Two Bros, mate. What's that about? Is that who's giving them the most money, or whose coach has spoke to one of the judges, or anything like that?
I don't know enough about Two Bros, because I don't like their shows.
Yeah.
Especially the Two Bros natural shows are absolutely awful.
Are they still doing them this year?
I don't know. I think so, yeah.
Jeez.
God knows why.
Yeah. Right, I've got 7. So if you want to do 2 for UFE, and then like we'll do 1 for me. Yeah.
That was from the Bear and the Camel.
The Bear and the Camel. Thanks.
Bear and the Chamel. I don't know.
Thank you for the question.
Adelaide Fit. When to know when you actually need a refeed or a dip in CV? So basically, how would you know if you need to have a refeed or to drop off some fatigue from expenditure?
It's impossible to say. Like, this is when there's some signs, definitely, but this is when working with a coach or assessing data and seeing trends is going to be appropriate, because we could literally go through, like, if we were to get, let's say, mine or your sheets up and assess, we'd be able to see multiple metrics and go, okay, this is potentially, but the problem is some people could listen to that and go, okay, I had one night's worth of poor sleep, or maybe my training performance was a bit off for a few days, but that could be due to another reason. That could be because of sleep. That could be because you've gone into the session, you've under-ate, let's say, and you've had more carbs post-workout. That could be due to whatever reason. There's so many things we look at. If we were to kind of give a blanket answer, it would probably be when let's say performance is dropping off, we're noticing, let's say, irritability high, we're feeling really slow, we're feeling sluggish, sleep quality is being affected, let's say you're not really getting a pump, your visual post-workout is really, really flat. The reason why I say post-workout is because like morning in the latter end of a prep or whatever, you're going to be flat anyway. So like the look post-workout is, you're almost starting to look a bit withered. Weight loss can be either too quick, where like you're dropping really, really aggressively, or it's not dropping at all and you're just continuing, like you're maintaining weight but you're just looking worse. That can also be a factor. That's the ones off the top of my head. I think I probably covered the basis there. Anyone else that I kind of,
I'd say like in terms of the difference between whether or not you maybe need a refeed or just a drop in fatigue would be heavily based on how you're actually feeling.
Yeah,
so like you say, refeed wise it would be more so like, how are you looking, what's the rate of loss saying?
Yeah,
like if someone says to me I'm hungry, I'm not gonna go, oh, have a refeed.
No.
Like if, let's say, somebody's lower body is like incredibly inflamed and you can see it and they can feel it, and body weight is trending up no matter how much you're digging, you know, you're pushing them harder in terms of cardio, steps, food, and they're gaining weight or maintaining no matter how hard you're digging,
you'd expect.
Then I would say, right, okay, we probably need to pull back. Because again, if performance is good and maybe fullness is still there, like you don't need a refeed. Because
no.
That's you're not fatigued from the diet, you're fatigued from the expenditure.
Yeah.
You're not fatigued from a food perspective. But go on, you said you wanted to
cover the camera cut out. And I think a lot of people nowadays, not even nowadays, a lot of people in general, they will opt and they'll be like, I need a refeed. It's never like, I need just to drop off a bit of stress and I need to kind of have a few days of just maybe doing less cardio or less steps.
Or even like a devolume.
Yeah, or just not even, load. Yeah, just have a few days off. Like in between shows for me, I remember like saying to Finn, I was like, I'm battered. But like, I don't need food. Like, I actually prefer the idea of less food and just moving around.
Thing is, as well, like when you've filled up for a show, like you, last thing you need is more food. Like, just had more food. Like now, for me to think, oh, I probably need a refeed would be ridiculous.
But like, the problem is, people tell themselves. I think the only option
they convince themselves
I need a refeed because I'm feeling like sluggish and lethargic. And it's like, no, you actually just probably need a few days off or a few devolume sessions. Pushing. Or just embrace it. Again, I think people don't get it. Like, there's gonna be days where your legs are absolutely battered and you've got to turn up and
trying to do cardio. It's like. Yeah. Fucking hell, like getting back to peak flatness. And
but the thing is like you had 2 days, you've only done cardio for the last 4 days.
Yeah, exactly. That's so that's why it's getting difficult because I'm getting pretty fatigued.
But like 4 days of cardio, like that's why I'm mad to think that like it's 4 days in. Imagine now what it's gonna be like probably a week from now. It's gonna be hard, but the problem is a week from now you're still gonna be fine. You have to do it, but that's not what you need to. Oh, I need to pull off, I need to take some cardio out. No, it's just, this is hard, this is a process. This is why, again, you don't get lean because it's challenging. So
exactly.
Right, Luke Garnish has asked, he's 5 weeks out and he still has his sex drive, should I be worried I'm not working hard enough?
It's a difficult one. Are you natural, are you enhanced, how lean are you? You know, you could say you shouldn't be like, oh, my goal is to lose my sex drive. No. Like that'd be ridiculous. But I think if you are a natural athlete and you're legit 5 weeks out with maybe 5 weeks out condition that you'd expect, if you're going to be all the way in, I'd be surprised if you had a great sex drive at five weeks out. But some people just have a really lean genetic set point where if they were to never get into bodybuilding, they'd be very, very lean anyway. So they are hormonally in a healthier spot than maybe someone else. Yeah. Like it's impossible to say. You'd have to look at your bloods and things like that. But without context of your physique and your muscle mass and things like that, it's impossible for us to say. You might be in a really good spot where your food's really high, your expenditure's really low, you've given yourself so long in the prep and things like that you're in a good spot. But yeah, you probably, I don't know, like it's impossible to say, but it wouldn't surprise me if you're not maybe where you need to be condition wise.
Yeah, good answer.
Andy Bewley PT, diuresis protocol, is there specific dosages per body weight of caffeine / vit c etc?
I think you definitely could create a one, but I almost think it's just a simple process of like just elevating up from what you would usually have, or let's say just implementing it in the first place. So like vitamin c, I wouldn't be saying, okay, you need X amount, like
per kilo,
or literally you could just have like a tab of vitamin C. It's like 1,000, like literally 1,000 milligrams per meal. Like you could do that, or you could just have a bit more towards the evening.
Yeah.
Or you could have half a tab.
It depends on what you do currently.
Yeah.
Like some people take vitamin C daily anyway, let's say at 1,000 milligrams. So if you then tell them to, let's say, have oh, I have 500 milligrams per meal. They've not really had much more than they usually would.
No. Likewise, so with caffeine. You're having four monsters a day and loads of cups of coffee. And then you're like, right, bro, we're doing, let's say, 600 milligrams of caffeine. It's like, I'm having less.
Yeah. So base it off your previous. And I would almost say, if you're looking at a, from a caffeine perspective, I just quite like to say, right, it depends how much that person's having. If the person's not having a lot, then double it. If the person is having a lot, then look at adding like 50 to 60% on top of that.
Yeah.
And just keep it earlier on in the day because you don't want to be impacting sleep. And then likewise with vitamin C, like, to be fair, you can't really go wrong with vitamin C. Like, you're not going to cause any issues even if you ran it quite high. Like, even if you went up to like 10,000 milligrams across a day, like, it's not going to be like, oh my God, you had that? Oh my God, like, you're going to ruin yourself.
People said that about like your fluid. And I said to everybody, I had two people come up to me. One person actually messaged me about how much fluid you were consuming. I said, I did the exact same because I drink that much water.
Yeah.
Like, if you drink 10 liters of water a day and you bump that up to 14 liters of like fluid.
It's not crazy.
That's not mad.
Like, yeah. Well, Jack Eagles commented on my post. He was like, 15 kilos of water, that's like a third of your body weight or something. Obviously, he was joking. I was like, it's actually a fifth.
Yeah, such a big difference.
But yeah, like, exactly that. People are so bothered about it, like, being, oh, but that's way more than what I do. Yeah. Or like, it's irrelevant what you do. Like, I have clients who, for example, like Josh. Like, Josh wasn't having 15 litres of water because he doesn't have anywhere near as much as me on a daily basis.
No.
So, like, for him, loading was, like, 10 litres, which felt like a lot. I have that on a normal day. Like,
you were to look at, like, let's say the food that I like had to carb up on.
Yeah, exactly. And
compare, like, the difference.
Imagine me getting someone to do that, like Josh to do that, who's 60 kilos. Like,
he'd be spilled after one meal.
Yeah, exactly. Like, or he'd be shitting himself because his digestion wouldn't be able to hack it. Like,
The difference between me and you, like, your loading days, one or two days, mine would have to be like a week. You know, differences of muscle mass, differences of genetic disposition. I come out of a prep and I'm like, my food's already like higher than most people's peak off season food. And it's like, that's
based on your size, based on your performance,
demands and stuff like that. So it's all individual, and that's the thing. Like, it's impossible to give an answer to that, but unfortunately there probably would be coaches out there that would just kind of have a Bible of, this is exactly what you need to do. And in reality, it's like, this is when working with a coach to assess trends, assess data, and then kind of deploy the best sort of measures in place. And also ask, do you actually need to do it? Like, if you look really good, we've always said, like, if you look really good a week out, sound, continue with that. Like,
just cruise into it, especially if you're not lean enough.
Yeah, exactly. Right, is controlling eccentrics really impactful on hypertrophy, or just important to prevent injuries?
Is it important? Is it let's say productive towards hypertrophy rather than impactful?
And also,
impactful,
it wouldn't just be to
negative.
Yeah, it also wouldn't just be important to prevent injuries. Like, I've never thought in my head, I'm controlling this eccentrics, so I don't want to get injured.
No, but it does have a big benefit. Like, just drop into every rep,
no,
you're
but
get
I'm not
hurt.
Thinking to myself, like, if someone was to say, why did you control that eccentric? The last thing, it wouldn't be the first thing to pop up. I'd be like, injury prevention, bro.
What would be the first thing?
I'd say just getting the most out of the actual set. Like, as a blanket answer, that is, because it is pretty, like, I'm covering all bases, but it is just to get the most out of the actual set itself. That's the thought process behind every single rep and every single set, you know?
I would generally say, we're a lot stronger through the eccentric portion, so in order to fail through like a full contractile range, it makes sense to control it more there. If you're stronger in a certain section of a rep, then controlling it more through that section, slowing down through that section, making it harder, is going to mean that you can fail through a full range. So if you imagine something like, imagine a flat bench, if you're just dropping into every single rep, you're going to fail concentrically, so you're going to fail on the way up way before you fail eccentrically. So you'll still have load of sort of loading potential, contractile potential through that eccentric phase because you've rushed it. So you're not only making it less safe, but you're providing less of a stimulus, less of a challenge. We know that a great amount of hypertrophic response occurs through that eccentric and through that lengthened range, and muscle damage occurs through that eccentric portion, which is not the most important thing, but we know that it's going to play some role. So yeah, basically, like Reece says, make the most of the set, but the science behind it is that if you're a lot stronger in that portion, you need to slow it down to make it more challenging, and therefore sort of equate across the set almost like a matching the fail points. So you're failing through the eccentric as well as the concentric. You shouldn't be able to do another 10 eccentrics at the end of a set. You might be able to do 2 or 3, but you shouldn't be able to just be like, oh, I could do loads more on that eccentric, because you should have controlled it more.
Yeah.
Musa Moha,
McLaren. Seeing him this Saturday and next weekend, actually. Seeing him two weekends back to back.
What exercise do you think is performed the most in the majority of gyms?
Ooh. That's a good question. What's the most common exercise?
I feel like a Smith press. Any form of Smith press is probably
any press, yeah.
Think about Premier, there's always someone on the Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that's a good answer. I was thinking like maybe like a leg extension or ham curl, but then how many people skip legs?
Yeah.
You know? I was thinking like a bicep curl, but then a lot of people skip arms and they prefer to
maybe a preacher curl is quite a common exercise.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'd say like a Smith press would be the amount of times you go on a Smith and a Smith's taken and then someone's pressing on the Smith.
It's usually a, like a Smith press.
Yeah.
James Fisher, my client. If you had to change one thing about yourself with the other, what would it be? So if I had to change something to have something of yours and vice versa.
God. Your facial hair.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, that's what I'd take. A bit of facial hair. Nothing.
Tear your calves.
Wouldn't be a bad shout. They actually came up a long way. Yeah.
That'd bring up my physique quite a lot.
That would make your physique, yeah. Calves. Nah.
Cool. Cameron Mooney, my client as well. Who would win in a 100-meter sprint between Reese and you?
Oh, we've answered this before, but we're both actually pretty lean right now. So I reckon maybe.
I think you'd win at the minute based on
energy,
having a bit more energy, a bit more power.
Do you reckon? But I've got a fair bit, like.
Yeah, but having weight, like 100, if you think about 100 meters, it's not about being light.
No, but I think like when you're, so for example, if I'm like, what, 105 kilos, so what's that, like 232? So you're.
My peak off season.
Yeah, like imagine you running at that weight, like that's
yeah, but I'm not that weight.
No, but imagine you running now in comparison.
Yeah, I don't think
you
I could
absolutely
run.
Blitzed me at Ninja Warrior when we did that.
Yeah, that's true. I would win.
Yeah, I think
I'd be better at, rather than at 166, I think, or 167, I think I'd be good at like 180.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think you're almost at that weight where you're your peak.
Yeah, no. I reckon, like, I think now for me, like, general movement is actually pretty good. When I was in Lanzarote, I was like powering up hills, and I was like, I literally remember saying to Snow, I was like, it's weird, like day-to-day life at like 104, 103 kilos. Good. I feel good, like I can move around, I feel agile, I don't feel too heavy.
I'm going to weigh myself.
I can play water polo, and I'm an absolute animal at water polo. So yeah, things are good. Right, Finn's gone to the toilet, prep and all that. I actually do need to go for a wee, but I'm holding it because we'll probably only do about 5 more minutes of this. So DJS_coaching says, who's got more game? Finn with one N, which Finn has actually said is something that really annoys him. So guys, make sure you spell Finn's name right. And to be fair, speaking of that, I had a Starbucks this morning and they asked my name and I said Reese, and they had R-H-Y-S, which is like, I'm not Welsh, bro, sort it out. But yeah, who's got more game, Finn or Reese? This is a good one. I mean, Finn's been in a longer term relationship than me. Finn's been with Shannon for like 4 years. I've been with Sanaya for just over 2. So I say just over 2, 2.5 that I've actually known her. So yeah, I think that's a good question. I'd say you'd have to know us when we're both like 18 to 20. I'd back myself that I can chat. But then also, I know that Finn, I think Finn would be pretty good as well. So I feel like if we were on a night out together and we both happened to be single, I think it would be, we'd be both pretty decent. But I'd have to ask Finn. So hopefully he comes back in. And I also got asked a question that says cycle. So I don't really know what that means. And Josh Croggan said, can I come on now? Now I've given Finn some posing pointers. Josh wasn't too happy with Finn's posing, aka Finn didn't stay on his chest at all, which sounds weird to say stay on your chest, but Finn didn't really tense his chest as well as he could have done, which made his chest look worse. So basically, me and Josh were like, tense your fucking chest, bro. I've kind of gone through all my questions, bar one. We got asked, who's got more game, me or you? And I said, I was like, we're both out of the game now. We'd be awful now.
Yeah,
if you were to put us back in the game now, it'd be awful. But I feel like if we were like peak 18 to 20 year olds, I think it'd be, we'd just go on a night out, I think we'd both be pretty decent. We can both chat.
Yeah, I think you would have more game in terms of like you'd try and have more game, whereas I think I'm just like,
yeah, I don't try.
I think you would though. You're the type to like try with like some awkward lines.
No, I wouldn't try with awkward lines. My hit ratio was like really good because I would never really shoot a shot unless I was like pretty confident. I was just
with the mingers, and then you knew you'd.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry to any mingers out there.
Yeah, sorry to any girls that I've been with before. The good old days. Imagine.
All right, let's smash through these then.
Okay, yeah, I got one more.
Rick Janotten. What rate of progression is good and what is better, progress, weight or reps?
Everything, as long as we're progressing. The only thing I care about is progression, progression mindset.
I did have this question. It was someone asked, like, what's better, progressing the reps or the weight?
And we've always said the same answer. And I was
like, yeah, well, but also it depends on how many reps extra you get or how much weight extra you get. Yeah, like, because yeah. They literally just put weight up or reps. So it was Ed, Millie's boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it depends. If you're 500 kilos up and you match reps, then that's a big win.
500 kg up to down this. Or like if someone's like, just took a plus eight on this.
To be fair, when people say rate of progression, what rate of progression is good? Like, you should be thinking like the maximum that you can possibly get out of every single set. But
no, but people go into sets and they think like, okay, I got 9 reps last time, 10 this week, no matter what.
Yeah.
And they get to 10. They could have got more.
Yeah.
So, and also I will say, if you're progressing and you're taking like plus threes or like going up in 5 kilos per side and like matching reps, congrats, you're not actually growing any muscle. You're just probably acclimating and adjusting to a new movement, or you're not training that hard.
And then you probably deload and then start again from like square one every time. And you're like, oh, well, I've progressed this amount of volume, this meso, and it's like, yeah, but you're still training at like 60% of what you could be. So train as hard as you can, progress as much as you can week in, week out, with good form, with safe form. And if you can progress weight, then you're going to be basically increasing the mechanical tension through a muscle, which is the primary driver of hypertrophy. So add weight as often as you can, but also be looking to, if you can't add weight, be looking to add reps. Jake Byers, what is the process of making a meal plan for a client? So what I do is basically when they start coaching, I'll get them to send me a food diary, so I know what their current food intake looks like, both in terms of actual food sources, so what are they eating, but also their macros and their calories. I will then basically go off of that in terms of foods that I know that they enjoy, foods that they can afford, foods that they're going to adhere to. I'll utilize that for creating their meal plan once I've got a bit of data in terms of their energy balance. So I know what they've sent me, what their expenditure is. Are you gaining? Are you losing? And basically go from there. And then the meal plan would be set out in the sheets. But I always say it is a guide. I don't actually provide like, you have to eat this.
No.
This is a meal plan you can use if you want to, if it makes your life easier, which for a lot of people it does. But use it as a guide. And if anything, if you don't like a meal, create your own meal that hits these macros, so we're going to be hitting your targets at the end of the day and maximizing your nutrient timing. So that's kind of how I work it.
I think a lot of people, the amount of clients that I have that will say, like, when they sign up, oh no, I'm not gonna, like, I just want to follow macros, and then you write them up like an example meal plan. And I had one guy today say, mate, it's so much easier, just like, I don't even need to like get my fitness pal up, I just eat the same food, and it's so easy. Cool, wicked, whatever suits. And just keep things consistent. And in the game of bodybuilding, consistency is what we want. So yeah,
exactly.
I've got one to finish on, so you just go through yours.
Okay. Daniel Regan, fave thing about one another.
That's the last one.
Oh, let's finish on that then.
Okay.
Well, we'll do the other three that I've got. We'll wrap through them, because Reese has got to go to physio.
Yeah.
Is it true you're half man, half mushroom? And then in brackets, and lettuce. Yes.
What would you prefer, lettuce or mushrooms?
Mushrooms.
Really? That good?
Oh mate, mushrooms are so good. Lettuce is just a filler.
I like lettuce.
Mushrooms are actually like tasteful. I like lettuce.
Yeah.
Like, to be fair, at the minute, my rest day is literally I love lamb.
I love lamb.
My rest day food is just lettuce and mushrooms. Like, it's a joke. It's literally just like
no protein, just veg.
Just lettuce and mushrooms. I can't even get away with protein anymore.
Yeah.
Liam Davis, will you both look at getting a coach anytime soon, or will you continue to coach yourselves? And if you was to get a coach, were to get a coach, who and why? Well, I'm 1-for-1 this year, and I've won an overall with a client already, so I'm going to coach myself.
Good answer. Yeah, sound. Similar to me. Like, my goals are, like, I'm not going to really get much more out of me having a coach at this point.
I actually really like coaching myself this time. Like, having the control over it, I really do like it.
Yeah, it's easier, isn't it? Like, it's nice.
I think it is difficult more so at the end when your thought process is like, oh, I just need to push harder and I need to get leaner and stuff. But having someone, like, obviously I have Reese has me to bounce ideas off and use at the end when it's needed, is really helpful.
Yeah, and just have conversations with, like, that's actually what it is.
Without being rude, like, the vast majority of people do need a coach.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I see that with all of my clients. Yeah. Like, they do need that individual. And likewise, like, I think realistically, like I still check in with myself basically. Yeah, I still do coach myself. It's like I don't, although we coach, it's, I think people think when you coach yourself you don't have a coach.
No,
but you do. Yeah, it's like you coach yourself. Yeah. Like you do still have a coach. You do still have that regular sort of thought process of checking in with yourself, changing what you need to change.
Posing post workout.
Like look at I've got two folders on Google Photos that I send photos into every day and make comments every day. Reese has access to them. Like we do coach ourselves. It's not like, oh, I don't have a coach.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Right, go on then. Last one.
What was it? What was Daniel's
favorite things about one another? Favorite things about one another. Try not to get too emotional.
Not really like one. I don't really think there's like one thing.
Your cock.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. It's so good.
It's good. Your cock is pretty good.
Yeah. It's thanks. Cheers, mate. I don't really know. Not really. Like, I don't really have like. Oh, I love Finn's enthusiasm. No. No. I just mean we just get on. I guess. Like that's what it is. Like, get on, we're both honest with each other. I'd say honesty in our relationship is very good.
That's one thing that Harry guy said as well. He was like, I like how honest you are. Like, one of you will say something, the other one will be like, no. Or the other one will say, like, no, this needs to be better or whatever.
Yeah, I think we're very honest. It's a very grounded and, like, it's a very odd relationship, I think. Because, like, we can have, like, for example, start of the year when we were in Liverpool, and that was, like, a weekend where we let our hair down and it was good fun and it was like, oh, this is nice. But then we'll have... But then our relationship isn't founded off like, it's founded off work and it's just wanting the best for each other. And that's like, I think that's really positive. And it's very, very rare. I think
work ethic is like, I'd say work ethic for both of us.
Yeah.
Like, probably my favorite thing about you is that we can have that same level of work ethic where like, I know that we're going to do the podcast. We know that we're not going to be missing a beat. Work ethic and effort in life.
Yeah. I think that's very rare because usually if it's like that, it's like that. Like,
well, we get pissed off at people that don't have that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if it's odd because there's no harsh feelings, not like it's a competition, but it's a positive competition. And it's like, and that's what we thrive off. And it's always been the sense, like we said, when we first, like, I think what actually got us into a good groove was like, when we trained, setting the standard, this is the fucking intensity that we're training at. This is what we're doing. Next week, we've got to do it again and we've got to do it better. And it's the same with coaching. It's the same when it comes to turning up and getting the podcast done. Like it's the same as training. Like there's no beats missed and that shows. And that's, I think, how we're kind of founded. So that would be systemically what I'd say we probably both like about each other the most. And then the last one, what are our long-term goals within bodybuilding? And to be fair, I feel like we kind of covered that on the last episode towards the end, like in the sense of we've put a lot of time into this, we've put years into what we do, and collectively it's just doing kind of the same sort of stuff but just getting better at it and working with more people, doing better, let's say, when it comes to competitions ourselves, when it comes to clients, when it comes to social media, when it comes to, and just in general, just doing what we love and doing it to an even better standard, you know?
I had a client ask me that. He was like, after the weekend, like, you know, you've done really well. What are your long-term goals? And I was like, just keep doing what I'm doing, but keep getting better at it. I was like,
more of it?
Yeah, more wins, more client wins. And then to be fair, I was like thinking, like, obviously, I want to become a natural pro at some point.
Yeah,
maybe in the long term I'll become an IFBB pro as a natural, which I think is achievable. It depends on how the sort of standard is in years to come.
We need to crop the end of the podcast last time where we spoke about two bros then. Fucking hell.
Yeah, sorry, I love two bros.
Yeah.
So like literally more of the same. I guarantee in, let's say, 2 to 5 years time we'll be doing this podcast. Maybe it'll be under a different brand, or maybe it'll be a lot bigger and better
in our gym potentially,
and like we'll probably be looking back and going, well, we've just kept doing it, and that's all it is.
So yeah, that's that. Right, that's everything. Thanks for questions, guys. Thanks for listening. That's 1:15. Mad. Mental. crazy. So yeah, appreciate it as always, guys. Look forward to catching you guys in the next episode. See you later. Bye bye. Cool sound.